Regular commission meeting for July 11th, 2023. I'll start with roll call. Commissioners. Commissioner. Here. Polly here. Commissioner Cardinale is here. Okay, all are present. All right, do we have any additions? Oh, wait, hang on, back up, sorry. Yeah, we'll go there. Do we have any additions or changes to the agenda? Okay, having heard none, let's go to citizens' comments. We have a maximum of 15 minutes for the comments and a maximum of 3 minutes per person. So anybody? Eric?
Yeah, on a officer's note, I would like to talk about the homeowners association down at Santa Height.
Okay.
And I've been, yeah.
We're going to do that, and we're going to recognize you and the two members from Hannah Heights.
Sure.
Can you wait till we get to that?
Sure, okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Harry. All righty. Moving along. Consent agenda, the correction and approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of June 13th. Do we have any corrections? Okay, having heard any, do I have a motion to approve the minutes of June 13th?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes in the June meeting. I forgot the date.
13th
June meeting minutes as published.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, Bill, the approval passes. Okay, bills and payroll.
I'd be happy to answer any questions on payroll. We'll start with that. This is all in line with as budgeted and worked. So any questions on that? On the, you have, should have three, no, two payroll sheets, one's double pages.
No, three.
Two, three.
There's three payrolls.
So three payrolls.
Three payrolls, no, two payrolls.
Three payrolls and three pages of it. Yep.
Yes, should be able, overtime is kept down.
Yeah. If there's no questions on payroll, you have your two pages or two sets of expenditures or bills. One, as you see, was the funds for closing costs for the safe boat. That's all you have on your reserve account. And then you have your other pages for general fund. Happy to answer any questions. Nothing jumped out of the ordinary from what we had.
Questions, comments? Okay. Do I have a motion to? Do I have a motion to pay the bills?
And payroll?
And payroll. I already did the payroll.
No, we did.
We did.
Any questions, but you didn't take action on it.
Okay, so I have a motion to pay the bills.
I'll make the motion to pay the bills and payroll.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay, all those in favor?
All.
Okay. There's no new business, old business. Hannah Heights, okay. What I'd like to do is recognize Harry C. to give us some information on. An update, okay. Sounds good.
Call it. So there's been three questions that we've been kind of working with. And question number one is, what kind of effect would this have on the fill station if we did that here and our resource here? And I ran some numbers, and the snapshot analysis is no, it will have no measurable effect on us. The well here is a 20-gallon per minute well, and figuring at 25% its production would be 7,200 gallons a day. the proposed potential use of the well from the homeowners association penciled out at under 500 gallons per day. And that was being very generous. We don't think it's going to be that close. I've given the fire department for their facility 1,000 gallons a day. We're probably at 500. So all in all, this brings the use of the well to like 5% of its capacity. So I don't think that has any real impact on that resource. The second one was the security issue for setting up OSBIB out there. The chief expressed a concern that he and others were worried about misuse of the fill site, and that is something we always would have to look at. What I'm proposing is that we go ahead with the proposed thing, as in the proposal, not lock it up inside the building. That has a lot of detrimental effects for not only the department, but for the users of the fill site. And if we have a problem with security on it, we have a plan to secure it if that need arises and happens. And the third question is water quality. And this may also solve number two. Our proposal includes a UV bacteria filter and a carbon filter. There's been some question about potential contamination. I've been told that the well's been tested and is clean from PFAS. And talking with the chief today, he was proposing that we may just go ahead and annually test that, just for our own benefits as well as anybody else. We're working with Northwest Plumbing on an appropriate filling faucet. Apparently a hose bib is not a potable rated filler because of the brass and the different materials in those. So we're looking at a faucet that is potentially frost-free and also has an automatic shutoff. So if somebody's filling and they don't turn it off all the way, it will turn itself off and some mechanism with that. But Kelby at Northwest is exploring that. And he and I are going to meet tomorrow if we have approval to do this and look at the pump house and see how this would be installed. And if we can't find one that's frost-free, then what I would propose is we'll go ahead and make a cover to the door, and they would have to open that, and we can put a security fixture on that so it's not just random use from the people who aren't authorized. And that's where we stand. And if you have any further questions on any of that, I'd be happy to answer.
Yes.
So to echo on some of those parts, I did ask Captain Lean to pull up our well report, and that was shared with Harry. So those numbers are accurate. So I just wanted to take that first point. The second one on security and safety, as Harry and I talked through things, staff and I support the plan of moving forward as presented, that if we have an issue, and it wouldn't be from any of our citizens coming from Hannah Heights, it would be somebody else, will address it if it grows. So we completely support that approach. One thing that Harry did say, that if we were going to open it and let the citizens come in, we have a number of pipes and wires and otherwise it would be in that pump facility, that we would want our members filling it anyway. Appreciate that Harry and the association, as they were putting the plan together, wanted as limited impact on staff as possible. It makes sense to go down the road that's been proposed. Water quality, it is a Class B system and is certified annually with the county. When I came on board, I did ask for PFAS to be assessed, and there was a recent test that showed that there were no traces of PFAS in any of it, as well as the annual recertification test that we do. But considering where the state's going, because of what's happened at Hannah Heights, we want to assure that we don't have any intrusion of PFAS into our system. We will be adding that to the annual test to validate anything that comes out of here that stays at no traces found, which is what the last result showed. So just wanted to echo everything in. Appreciate all the groundwork that Harry C., the C Foundation, and the association has done throughout. I did also check from a RCW standpoint, from a small works roster. As we know, any construction or anything that's done on a government building needs to hit requirements. For us to have to go to specific small works roster, the project would have to be over $40,000 or $75,000. This is significantly under that. So we are clear from any RCWs, from a regulatory standpoint. Our legal counsel suggested that we want to make sure that since we're supporting a small subset of our community, that we don't want to have anything that would be perceived as a gifting of taxpayer dollars. Because of all this being donated and supported from work through the bottles, through the plumbing and otherwise that the C Foundation is doing, the management of the process that the Homeowners Association is doing, I believe and would recommend support on this, that any nominal charges, which is what legal was requesting, that's been taken care of with what's being donated and the work that's being done by the association to make that work. My recommendation to you as staff and as your chief is support that, and we don't need to charge anything to that amount of use coming out of this, but it would be a case-by-case basis moving forward. But what's been done at this point should be supported, and that will take care of any nominal charges so we can support Hannah Heights on that. Next steps would be for me to work with Hannah Heights on how the process would go for managing who comes over, who's approved. As you heard Harry mention, that we want to make sure that these are approved fillers, and then any agreements that we may need legally between us and Hannah Heights, we can work that out, assuming we get approval from you all. Be happy to answer any questions from staff. And I know that you, as you recognize, you have a couple of people from the Hannah Heights Association, but it's been great working with them and with the C's and C Foundation in bringing this forward.
Association has anything to add or any questions they would like to have?
So I'd like to introduce Paul Hart from the association, and also Katie Gorin, who's the association president in Hannah Heights. So I'm really interested in, do you see this as something that, one, you want as an association, and two, is it something you guys think you need?
It is very much appreciated. As you all know, even though we have shut down our well and are now 100% dependent upon trucked water from Roach Harbor now, and next month it'll probably go between Roach Harbor and Friday month. But we will still be on a block of water advisory until we have a new well identified. And we do not have a new well identified yet. And that, as I'm sure you all know, is an extremely difficult thing to accomplish on this island. But we're persevering and we're putting a lot of energy into that, but it's going to be a while. So this is very much appreciated. I think that the one thing, you know, once bitten, twice shy, is that we would, I think, be more comfortable if there was a PFAS test done on your well before any water is drawn from it for the community, just as a matter of process. And also, I think that it's worth looking into whether the I think it does, but just to check that the improvements that Harry has proposed basically conform with the Class A water system, because essentially, you know, there's a question there is, even if people are coming here to get the water, does that make you a supplier of a Class A water system, which has a somewhat different compliance issues than the Class B? So those are the only couple of things that I can think of. We're as grateful for the volunteer effort as we are for the water itself.
No, I agree completely. I think the concern, I need to be super sure that the water's safe. I'm just, people are very nervous people here, and just very, very nervous. And so I feel like I need to give people some assurance. And so if we can get a new PFAS test, or when was the last one done?
I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure, didn't you put in a public records?
The one that got that was 2019.
Yes. And I believe, I'll double check, I thought we did one last year, but I will double check. But regardless, if the board supports this, I think it's very reasonable to do another one now, regardless of when those last tests were. Of course, and understandably so.
4 to 5 weeks to get that test back from, I talked with Edge Analytical today. It takes a while to get those done, and it can't be expedited.
That's fine. That, I mean, there have been a lot of new tests submitted to them lately, so I'm sure.
They're getting overwhelmed.
Yeah, I'm sure they're probably, because it was 3 weeks for a while, so I think it's just.
So, Harry, the filtering system that you're talking about, you said was a UV system?
Yeah, you know, the UV lights, the bacteria.
Okay, so that's not, that wouldn't affect PFAS.
No, it wouldn't affect PFAS. And the carbon filter doesn't, there is no filter that I'm aware of that will take that out. That water just can't be used. The only thing I've read is a reverse osmosis might take it out, but that would be very expensive, and it's just not practical. And I'm not sure that that's true. I've only read one article that says that it would handle PFAS, but there's some questions about that.
Okay. Jerry, do you have any questions or comments?
So your system is only looking at a carbon filter, right? And then an ultraviolet?
UV and carbon.
Right.
When I talked with Kyle at the health department, he said, you don't need anything. That water is drinkable. You can go drink.
Okay.
I said, yeah, but we want to be extra sure, so, you know, to meet the concerns, and also for ourselves and our own protection and fire department, we want to make sure anything that we're going to distribute is clean.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that's missing from this scenario is the current PFAS test.
If there had been a test last year, would that be acceptable?
I think so, probably, yeah.
If there is one.
And if there'd be no foam drills within any measurable distance of it.
Yeah, we don't have that type of foam, so.
Well, I can tell you, during the 5 years I've been here, we haven't done any foam drills back there at all. So I would be more comfortable to just do another test, get it in the system now, and get that process started. Even if I can find one that was a year ago, I would suggest that we, to give them confidence if we go down this road, to just do another one now, and we'll add it to the list that we do every year anyway. So I think that would be money well spent to validate that. But we have done we don't use the foam, and we have done no foam testing during my tenure here at all, so.
And it could be dual path, couldn't it? I mean, it wouldn't necessarily slow down the going ahead and getting the system in place, obviously, so.
No, if you approve, I'll, he's doing pump testing. I'll get Captain Lean on it right now to put in another test immediately if we go down this road, and it doesn't hurt to do it anyway. But no, that does not preclude you giving me direction to work with the C Foundation and move forward on the proposal.
So then I guess I'll make a motion to approve the proposal for water hookup or solution to the problem, connection as presented to us. So I made a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor of the proposal?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the proposal passes. Okay, so let's hope this helps Anna Heights in some ways.
Okay.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, I know you've got someplace to be or something to do, so if you need to leave.
I do. I became an older person today.
Join the club.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Okay, Paul. Okay, let's point it.
Leave that topic. There was some discussion before, wasn't there, about whether we needed to be doing distribution out of 33 of Bava Water or something? Did that get addressed?
So one of the requests was that they could be used as a temporary holding for a distribution of bottled water or otherwise.
Uh-huh.
When that was asked at the beginning of this, I said, yes, absolutely. Let me know when it needs to be. I had talked with Harry once that needs to be delivered. If we need to move rigs around so we open up bay space, that's perfectly good to go. We also said if we need to get members to go up and help unload it, we'll do that too. I'm just waiting to hear when that's going to be delivered, and that will happen.
I'm hoping we have the pallets of water here. So we're hoping we can get them. Brown Lumber will take them out there for free and offload them with their forklift. So that saves us a lot of work. And then we're just going to load it into the meeting room. We didn't want to really get it into the bays as a staging area. So we've cleared space in the meeting room where they can stage it. And then once it's distributed, that's not going to be needed anymore. But we're going to use that as the staging area.
It's how much?
Four pallets,
which is how much?
Yeah, I think right now we've got four pallets of actual bottled water, and then we're working hopefully Friday. The dispensers for the bigger bottles will be here. We don't know the status yet on those bottles.
And how much water is four pallets of water, do you know?
A lot.
All right, I'll make that the official number then.
But we've talked with the association and Norvin, the chief, has offered up the duty crew to come and help too if we need it. So it shouldn't take very much to load this into the meeting room and get that set up for Paul to distribute.
So other than that distribution, there had been no other requests or proposals, but we've been working.
Yeah, it's fine. Thank you.
Okay, financials.
Before you have a year to date. Target is 50%. You can see for revenues, we are at 75% to date. And we are at 45%, so we are under budget, well within budget overall for expenditures. You will notice that capital projects has gone up to 78%, but that is all planned. The majority of that was, as you saw, as the down payment for the boat. That's all well within budget. You still have a couple UTVs that are within the budget that was proposed within that, and you still see that you've got approximately 32,000 within your adopted capital projects. Materials and services are at 29% overall. You will notice in the bills that you just paid, our annual ladder and hose testing has been completed. So those are some of those once a year pieces. And personnel services are under budget at 47%. You see an ending fund balance of revenues minus expenditures of what we have of $902,418. Any questions on the year to date?
So I'm assuming from the revenue that we're at 75% that that's probably most of our
No. So if you look at, you've got beginning fund balances. If what you want to look at, where you're talking about the tax revenues that are coming in, you're at 65% in the general fund. The majority of your general fund revenues, our taxes were at 65% because we've had the April, May tax collections that are coming in. The next bump will come in October, November timeline. So you will see the remainder of that coming in towards the end of the calendar year. So this is about where we project to be at this time of year. And you will get the residual approximately, what, 700,000-ish towards the end of the year. Are any other questions on year to date, June specifically? Total fund balances, you see we have 902,557. Liabilities were total between capital projects. That 48,000 was the down payment and some residual that we had in outfitting the new vessel, and the 184,000. 475 are expenditures from payroll and materials and services, which are in line. Page two, you see the fund balances between your general fund and your reserve fund. The capital and bond projects fund stay at a zero because you don't have any of that. And then revenues and expenditures you see on the final page, everything is within budget, and you can see that the taxes brought in approximately 26,000. You can see that that's on that downhill kind of fold until the fall, and then expenditures are as you've approved and as we've discussed previously. Happy to answer any questions on the month of June, which takes you to the 50% point within the year. Hearing none, if you don't have any, that's what I have for financial presentations for you. I will be happy to turn it over to Chief Monin for operations report.
Thank you, Chief. Okay, I changed the format a little bit here. You'll notice I'm basically giving a mid-year report for operations, but I also did a retrospect for you. I've got a comparable from June operations of last year, and then a 1 year retrospective, June to June, and then a 3 year retrospective, so from June 2020. So essentially, I just wanted to grab that so we can see the numbers and see how stable the percentages are. And you'll note that really, I think things are kind of set in part as far as stability, EMS and rescue versus all other hazards and services are basically stabilized in terms of numbers. Our reaction times are well, close enough to our goal. I think it's notable that the crews have done an excellent job of trying to achieve that 90-second reaction time, which is not easy. And that's why we set the bar high like that. And in fact, last year they beat it for the month of June at 88 seconds. And then the travel times are pretty consistent as well. And then I broke it down for you in terms of call volume by station area. So June to June for a 1 year retrospect, you've got total call volume, and you can see how those break out. So headquarters, you have 698 calls. And then on down the line, the Cape, you had 25 calls. Little Mountain Station, you had 63 calls. Sunset Point, you had 50 calls. Roach Harbor, you had 89 calls. Eagle Crest Station, you had 56 calls. Out of district, you had 7, and one outer island response. I did the same data search for a 3 year retrospect, so you could see the comparable, and you can see how those are laid out there. The one thing I wanted to point out that really struck me was the out of district outer islands, and we can put Brown Island Station in that group as well. You can see you've got what, 9, 38, 9, so you got 47 and 5, so 52 calls for a 3 year period, right, in the outer island, basically marine operations off out of district. If you take this year retrospect, which was 8 calls, that gives you a good idea of what to expect. But the call volume went down because the vessel that we had leased didn't have the capabilities that the old fireboat had. My expectation would be now that we have a vessel that has those capabilities, has a fire pump, patient transport capability, I would anticipate about 24 calls a year, go back to that number that we would expect. Just something to keep an eye on, and expect once again, increase our capability. June operations, the minimum staffing is met. The shift crews are staying busy as usual, doing this, that, and the other. I will say, there's been a bit of a change for them, and it's actually working out pretty good so far. The shift officers have been, basically the expectation has been implemented that they would manage their EMS response, because we want to ensure that our engine isn't getting tied to calls that it doesn't need to be on, but also not put, you know, patient care at a disadvantage. And the shift officer's been doing an excellent job of sifting through that, and working with San Juan Island EMS and ensuring that they're needed or if they're not. And so far, so good. So I will anticipate the call volume for EMS calls to go down, that and or you'll see more cancellations on those. And the intent there is to keep the engine in service and ready. So for the next EMS call, it's available, and also essentially keep the engine ready for all the other hazards and responses that we do. So
you want to kind of let them know how you landed or why we did with their deployment model from the two ambulances, and kind of how we shifted or why?
Yeah, so essentially the reason we really opened this up was there's an inconsistency in need. So some days, if San Juan Island EMS is understaffed, or if they're just getting hammered with more calls and it's really busy for them, from an operational and deployment model perspective, it doesn't make sense to have an engine crew that's got EMTs on board tied into a response where there's plenty of staff already there to handle the response, and basically making them free, making that engine company free to be available, is sort of like the insurance package. When San Juan Island EMS is staffed enough, often they'll have plenty of staff going on a single call. And that call may be in Roach Harbor. Well, based on the data that you see, 70% of our call volume is in this area. It's within the town, basically general area. So having the engine company join San Juan Island EMS, and from an operations perspective, I can feel like the whole island shipped over because all the resources are going over to one end of the island. It doesn't make sense. And it puts the community at a potential disadvantage, and somebody who's having a medical issue at a severe disadvantage if it's a delayed response because the resources aren't being managed. So my intent is, I don't want to constrain the crew or have like a real firm policy, like this is when and how do that. I want the engine company crew lead to have the expectation set forth that they're going to make good decisions and make sure that they're taking care of patients, but also making themselves available and paying attention to resource allocation on the island, because it's pretty easy to do that. We know what resources are here. It's obvious when you know too many are being placed somewhere and we're leaving an area unprotected. So
I make one comment to that, and then it's, I believe that the company officers are all very experienced EMTs, so they know when the call comes out whether this is not much, I hate to use that little term because it's always something, or is this is a really serious thing, like, you know, put it out as a advanced life support thing. Okay, then they don't, okay, they could probably use some help here, because if it goes into CPR or you find it's on, somebody says they're, you know, the heart attack's in the toilet, you know, the house toilet, you definitely need some other people. And these experienced company officers are well qualified to make those decisions.
Commissioner Qualley, you're right. That's, and that's essentially the what I've expected them to do. They can make those decisions and they're expected to communicate. So if they don't know, if there's some information that's needed. And San Juan and UMass, I've talked to TJ Bishop, the assistant chief there, and he's communicated with his staff. If you need us, just call. So if it sounds like it's nothing, they get there like, ooh, we need help, give us a call. So the intent isn't to disparage anybody or, you know, cause harm. It's actually to make good decisions and use the limited resources that we have correctly.
Yes, and I couldn't agree more, but one of the side benefits of this is I don't know how many times I've heard the neighbors complain about so many things showing up. And they have no idea what's going on or if they're needed, but at least.
Yep, yep.
Hey, no, so how's that communicated back to dispatch? I mean, sat there. I mean, are you standing by in station? Are you standing
down? No, so it's based on call. So the company officer may say, hey, we're monitoring, may not even come on the air if it's, you know, an interfacility type transfer. It's a fall that sounds like it's not emergent. You know, it's based on the call type and what's going on, but they're always monitoring. So even, you know, if it's a 2 a.m. call and they get woken up by an EMS call and the company officer says, nah, we're not going to go on this one, they're still tuned in. They're still paying attention. They're expected to be situationally aware.
Yeah, I'm sure they would be. I just wondered if dispatch was aware that they were still monitoring.
So what I would say on that one is when we shifted to a staffing model, 24 hours a day, dispatch knows that we're here. So unless the crew goes on the call, then they're not tied to the call. Yeah. They're here, okay, ready to go for
that
call. So that's the difference in mindset from a volunteer-centric model to more of that pure combination where you have 24-hour staffing. So dispatch knows if the crew doesn't go on the call, just like if there's a fire call and EMS doesn't go on it, then they know that the ambulances are still available through San Juan EMS. Same thing with us. The engine company is still available if we don't go on the call.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand. Thank you.
We're continuing in-service training for certified Marine pilots, mates, and deckhands. And again, a target date for in-service is still August 1st. We got some good news yesterday. Chief, I didn't update you on this, but I sat in on the meeting with our LNI program. Essentially, if you haven't heard anything this week, it's a good chance you get the grant. We haven't heard anything this week. We touched base last week. The chief bird dogged a few other items that had to go in on that grant. And we didn't hear anything. So my guess is we're going to get it, which is going to be helpful to help us equip the vessel, which needs a few more items to get it tip-top shape ready to do all the things we want it to do.
The nice thing on that, and I'm not sure we actually mentioned this before, just to reiterate, this was one of the state LNI grants, labor and industry. Last year, they didn't have enough people to put in to spend all their money. So we put in for the, you had to have a plan in place. So we have two plans that we're working with state LNI on. One is a cancer reduction plan, and the other one is a muscular skeletal prevention injury plan. This one ties directly to the boat. So the transfer system we put in, Stokes, carry pieces, it, because of our size, population wise, it's a no matching. So if you're a larger organization, there's matching funds. There are no matching for our size organization. It was up to $25,000. So we put in enough for the full $25,000. When we were going through the punch list, provide the plan of that we have in place on how this is going to make it better and safer for our members and the patients. Feedback as we were, as Noel said, as we were bird dogging the little subtle little points, they go, we really, in all capital letters, want to award this to you. So we need this information as exponentially as possible. So we got it in. So keep our fingers crossed. It should be a non-matching $25,000 that will go towards what we have on the boat to make it easier and safer for our membership to transfer patients and safer for the or for any patients that are going on board.
This is money you've already spent.
Correct.
So this would be
no. Yes and no. There's some of the rigging and some of the gurneys, because we ordered a new spoke structure, a new wheel, and transfer equipment rigging wise that we haven't purchased yet, but we will because we need it. This counteracted some of the construction that we already did for that system itself.
Yeah, it offset even offsetting the seat placement, moving the seat back, the dropout, anything that had to do with moving the patient, and which was, from our perspective, musculoskeletal injury prevention. That's why we did a lot of this, is to help the responders move the patient in and out of the boat. And it costs a lot to do it, but good news is we can recover a lot of those costs.
Fantastic.
And then I did touch on it briefly, and then just put it in as a note here for you all. Because Fireboat 31 is the only asset of its kind in San Juan County, we're going to expect demand to increase again for it, especially with Sentinel now no longer available. I think Guardian's on the out, and I don't know what the sheriff ordered for a new vessel. I haven't seen spec on it. I heard there that it could do patient transfer, but I haven't seen what that looks like. The note for that I've expressed to the chief and want to make known is that the operational expenses for that vessel are expensive. It's high, right? It's a boat, and it's specialized. And I mean, the fuel alone, the fuel use alone, getting around is exorbitant. So my recommendation moving forward would be to develop a fee schedule. This is a train. Develop a fee schedule and make it known, and work with the interagency partnerships, and make sure that when the vessel's getting shared or utilized for purposes that are helping the organizations that are needing it, that we have some cost recovery program for it, so that we're not gifting it. The last two bits, we have eight new volunteer members that completed the wildland firefighter training. And we have two new volunteer members from Stewart Island that are added to the support team. Happy to field any more questions.
So I was going to add to the piece that you were just talking about as part of the administrative update for you on the vessel. From a costing perspective, I did get a note from Superintendent Chief Butler saying, hey, now that you've got it, we want to work with you. He knows that we would like to have either an inter local agreement between us and them, or at least an agreement from a fee schedule standpoint when we go out and they come on the boat with us. We're putting together two sets of numbers for you. One is if we work within our district, which would work with San Juan EMS if it's a medical call, within our district, and then an outside of our district. As we've been putting it together, what I've requested and what it will have is a sliding scale. There'll be a base rate, and then there'll be a sliding scale on nautical miles and complexity. So, for example, if we're going on an in-district call with San Juan EMS on a medical call and we only need limited staffing to staff the boat, and otherwise, well, that would be one fee plus nautical miles, so we can capture any of the fuel distance. If we're outside, so say we go to a non-protected island, throw one out, Susha. We would have a base rate for the vessel. We would have nautical mile rate, and say it's a wildfire, we have our crew that's staffing it, and say we send six personnel over. Well, that complexity will increase the price outside of the district, and that should be full cost recovery for our citizens and otherwise. So you will be able to see if it's non-complex and we're just moving someone from a partnership standpoint, here's what it would be. We'll bring some recommendations to you all to give us guidance and make some decisions on how you want that to be. But we'll be back into agreement with San Juan EMS so that we make sure that appropriate care is being delivered, and yet it's protected from them and from us. So you will have that coming forward. In addition to that, we're finalizing the ILA between the town and us on the two of them. One is for inspections and one is for investigations. I'm finalizing that, as I think I briefed you last time, due to some of the water systems that Administrator Colseth is working on. She didn't have time to finalize some of the stuff. So I had offered, we'll put forth our energy because it's important to you all and important to us. So I'm working with Fire Marshal Ryan Erickson in the town and the administrator to get these landed. So we're still on track for training and for inspections to start in the fall after the shoulder season. Congratulations to operations and the 8 new wildland members that have come on board. The small fire that we had in the wood storage over at Lakeville, we already had at least one of the members, new members came on. This is why it's nice to have someone fresh out of high school that has nothing else to do with his summer off. We've had 2 fires. He's been on both of them. It's fantastic. And he has an extremely supportive dad who is driving him everywhere for it and making sure that he shows up. So saw many of them here last night at all department drill. They're excited to be here and very engaged. So that's always good. Had a good showing and people out and interaction during the 4th of July parade. I'll be happy to answer any questions on behalf of us or anything open to staff. That's what we have for reports. Be happy to answer any questions.
No questions. No questions.
Okay. I think that let's see. All right. So I've got one comment or one thing to say here is with the chief retiring in November, I think it's time we schedule a work session for an initial conversation on developing an open competitive recruitment process. And I know that the chief has talked to both of you, and I think Tuesday at 1 o'clock, is that going to work for
sure
for everybody? If we can schedule that for Tuesday, and if you give us a room, either this, we don't need this one. Oh, no, I don't know. Maybe we will.
Right.
We
it's
might.
Open. Yeah. It's a public.
Yeah. Pardon me?
Just a Tuesday or next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday.
I'll give you the date.
Next Tuesday.
Not today.
You just said Tuesday.
Oh, sorry. Next Tuesday at 1 p.m.
The 18th.
The 18th. And then we can get started because it seems like the months are flying by right now. So if you'll schedule that for us and get that on the agenda. At this time, I don't know that we're going to. Not sure what paperwork we might want to look at ahead of time. But if you think of anything, let the chief know so he can have that ready for us. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Okay. I think that concludes the business for today. So, yes.
Just for you guys' information, I just wanted to make sure you knew that next month I might have to call in. I'm having my knee replaced the day before the meeting. So if I can get here and have one, I'll be here. Otherwise, I'll call in.
Are you sure you even want to call in?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sit there and watch TV.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All right. We'll keep that in mind.
Okay.
Okay. Not a problem. So can I get a motion to adjourn?
A motion to adjourn.
We have a second.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.